Today on the Travel Guys.
In the news, the Coast Guard says that larger Americans are causing them to, well, kind of take a second look at passengers' limits on sightseeing ferries and other boats.
At 2:20, Colonel Harlan Sanders gives us his fried chicken. No, at 2:20, we introduce you to one of my favorite highway rags that offers great stories from the road, American Road Magazine.
At the bottom of the hour, travel blogger Ben Schlopik is going to be joining us to share his secrets, including how to get those free vouchers for getting bumped off of flights.
All that and more today on the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man.
Hit the road, Jack.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks. I'm on the Route 66.
The show. And welcome, everybody. It's a wonderful Sunday. 2 o'clock means it's Sunday's 2 o'clock to three every week. It's the Travel Guys here on News Talk 1530 KFBK. I'm Tom Romano, along with Sports Leisure Vacations illustrious traveling guy Mark Hoffman. Mark, welcome to the program. How have you been?
I've been good. You realize, of course, we've already shot. We had a big goal for our listeners. We had a big goal this week. We were going to try to get through the entire program. Remember to turn the microphones on at the right time every time. And
sure,
here I came out with the headlines and forgot to turn the microphone on. So there you go. It just proves it's live radio.
Live
here at your station for fried chicken updates. KFBK,
you know,
News
Mark,
Talk 1530.
I can't believe that. I mean, what's one or two birds?
Well, it is a big deal. It is a big deal, and it's a big deal for a couple reasons. First, the birds. If you remember, when they landed the plane in the Hudson River, that was because of birds.
But it was a flock.
It was
of birds.
A flock. But see, out at Sacramento International, it's very much a bird flight line.
Yeah.
And probably something that somebody didn't think about when they built the airport out there, but. Birds tend there's a lot of bird areas out there.
Yeah, there's a lot of the rice fields.
Right,
a
lot habitat, of place, habitat. For the that's the word
protected,
I was searching for.
I might add
a fancy professional radio word like habitat. Mm-hmm. And yes, and so the birds TWA lost two engines in a 3-year period out there, and I remember reading at the time, and this has been a long time, probably 10-15 years ago, that they were about $250,000 apiece. So when a bird flies into the engine, doesn't mean your plane's going to go down because you have there are other engines. But it basically puts it out of commission, and yeah, you have to go back and fix things.
I don't know. For some reason, you know, I figured like one bird wouldn't be a big deal, but a flock of birds would be. I just kind of assumed if there was only one, nobody really paid any attention. But I guess that is not the case.
According to Aaron, that would be a bucket of fried chicken, I guess.
There you go. Are we ready for the news?
I think we are.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, as we always do at the beginning of every program while you're on the Travel Guys, it's Mark Hoffman and the Mark Hoffman Trio playing in the background. And here's the latest in the travel news, Mark.
If people only knew how much money we spent to get those guys to come down here live just to do that little bit every week.
Friggin' amazing.
Unbelievable. Heavier passengers on boats are forcing the Coast Guard to make a rule change. Does the growing girth of Americans pose a risk to passenger vessels? The U.S. Coast Guard apparently thinks so, as it's planning to reduce the number of people it'll allow on ferries, sightseeing boats, and other small passenger vessels operating in U.S. waters. Yeah, Americans have been packing on the pounds in recent years. American flag vessels since the 1960s have been the average weight used to decide how many people could be on a boat was 160 pounds, Tom. Now they're moving it up to 185 pounds.
Well, you know, since I resemble that, I think they just need to make bigger
boats.
You
don't resemble that.
Well, I could. Well, they need bigger boats.
Exactly. All right. 15 places to see before your kids turn 15. I thought this was kind of different.
Uh-huh.
Of all the lists, places you should take. Now, I know your kids are grown now.
Disneyland has got to be on that list.
Disneyland is not.
Wow.
However, Walt Disney World is. The places to see, I don't think these are in any particular order. Grand Canyon, Arizona, the West Rim, where you can stand out over the rim. Never mind the teeth-chattering ride you have to take to get there. But Redwood National Park, Monticello, I agree with that. Very interesting place. The Freedom Trail in Boston, Niagara Falls, the National Mall in Washington, Colonial Williamsburg, good place to take a child for a history lesson. They have the Disney World Resort, Independence Hall. Here's an interesting Alcatraz.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, that's a great place to take a kid because, I mean, it's kind of gory. It's a prison, but it's still it's a fascinating place.
You know why, especially if they're like close to 15 and they're a boy?
Mm-hmm.
You take them there and you say, you know what? Bad behavior could result in this.
If what happened last Thursday happens again, this is where you will be. Yeah, exactly. Ellis Island, speaking of islands, is on that list. Yellowstone, Fenway Park in Boston.
There you go.
Couldn't agree more. Craters of the Moon National Monument and Preserve in Idaho, just because it would give a strange another lesson. And the San Diego Zoo, those are some of the places you should take your kids. Okay.
You know, well, wait a minute. Let me interrupt here.
All right.
That sounds like a Sports Leisure Vacations itinerary list. This must be where you take all of those that
didn't make it when they were 15.
Exactly.
Now they're on the other side of 15.
Side of 15, add a few years, and then they go with Mark to
recycled teenagers. AirTran tops the airline quality report. Discount airline AirTran Airways ranked first overall among 16 large U.S. air carriers in 2010, according to an airline quality report released Monday. This is important for people in Sacramento because AirTran does not fly here right now, but Southwest is merging with AirTran, which means some form of AirTran is coming soon to an airport near you, with possible flights maybe to, Atlanta would be my guess. The airline improved on time performance, rate of consumer complaints, and mishandled bags last year. AirTran bumped 2009's number one ranked Hawaiian out of the top spot. Hawaiian ranked second in 2011, followed by JetBlue, Alaska, and Southwest. And guess who the bottom feeders are? The bottom five, United at 12th, Mesa, a regional carrier, Comair, regional carrier, Atlantic Southeast, regional carrier, and finally American Eagle, regional carrier. Do you see a trend there?
I do.
It's the tin cans that you really want to avoid. 90% of travelers would choose rail over air for those folks who are, you know, thinking that it's and I'm one of them who thinks this high-speed rail thing is kind of a boondoggle. However, 79% of people said they would choose train over plane if high-speed rail options existed. 61% would choose rail over air if the cost was the same or better. You know, I went to the Giants game Friday night by train.
By slow rail.
I go there all the time. Yeah, by slow rail. Yeah. And it's a wonderful way to go to the ball game or to go to San Francisco for the weekend or go to a business meeting, or it's cheap.
Now
it's
you
easy.
Take,
you can work on the way.
And you took
Amtrak.
You took Amtrak to what destination?
Down to I went to Richmond.
Uh-huh.
You can either go to Richmond or there's a couple other places. You can transfer in a couple other places too. But I went to Richmond and transferred to BART there and went on into the city, walked to the ballpark. It's the way to go. It's the way to go. So I'm not surprised that that people would choose. I use the Acela and the Metroliner on the East Coast when I'm over there. Frequently, we'll be using it in a few weeks, and it is a much more convenient way. There's not as many security hassles. You walk off the train, you're there.
We'll have to do a show sometime on trains, planes, and automobiles with the emphasis on trains someday.
Yeah, that's it. All right, one last thing in the news here. Little risk found from body scans in airports, according to this story. A new analysis finds that full-body airport scanners don't pose a significant health risk to passengers. I wonder why this didn't make a headline. The article published online in the Archives of Internal Medicine estimated the potential risk of the radiation emitted from so-called backscatter X-ray scanners. The amount of radiation women would be exposed to from a mammogram is equal to 4,000 airport scans, while the amount from an abdominal CT scan would equal 200,000 airport scans. Basically, the scanners deliver an additional amount of radiation that is equivalent to the amount of radiation you receive in 3 to 9 minutes of daily living.
Wow. Okay.
So I'm okay with that. Now they can look at my pee-pee in the dark, and it's okay with me, yes. All right. Coming up after the break, we have Becky from American Road Magazine is going to join us. And also, we are going to update folks. There's a lot of United Airlines and Continental Airlines will be speaking of airline mergers or in the process of merging. A lot of people in Sacramento who fly belong to the frequent flyer clubs of one or both of those airlines. And we have got some important information. So if you're a United or a Continental frequent flyer, some important information coming up for you after the break. Plus, we're going to take you on a journey on America's roads.
All that coming up right here on The Travel Guys.
Hi, I'm Patrick Dorrance, the Cowboy Libertarian. get a different perspective on politics from someone who's been on both sides of the aisle and in the aisle itself. So saddle up and join me this afternoon from 3 to 5 on News Talk 1530, KFBK.
This is Mark Hoffman, and if you've been listening to the Travel Guys for a while, you know I have a special spot in my heart for Hawaii. It is a destination that absolutely exceeds everyone's expectations. This October, I'm going to be escorting a very small group of folks on a very special trip to Hawaii. We're going to three islands, Kauai, Oahu, and the Big Island of Hawaii. But we're not going to be visiting the normal attractions that you'd see on a Hawaii vacation. We're going to take you behind the scenes. We're going to take you to a chocolate farm and a vanilla farm and a mushroom farm. We're going to show you all the historic spots where King Kamehameha hung out and take you to off-the-beaten-track places, like places where President Obama grew up. We're going to show you the other side of Hawaii. If that sounds interesting to you, you need to give me a call at Sports Leisure Vacations at 361-TOUR. That's 361-8687. We're headed to Hawaii.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Oh, I love this song. One of Mark's favorites.
I do, too.
Arlo Guthrie.
Yeah, it just reminds you just riding on the train,
it
looking
does.
Out the window.
Just kind of cruising along. Yeah. Welcome, everyone. This is the Travel Guys here on News Talk 1530 KFBK. Don't forget now, coming up after the bottom of the hour, Ben Schlabig. Ben is a travel blogger and...
He's a mileage hound. He's a mileage fiend. If you have the Sacramento Bee travel section today, there's an article from the New York Times all about Ben, which we knew him before he was famous.
There you go.
That's what I told him the other day. All right. We have an airline situation here. Continental and United are two carriers that serve Sacramento International Airport. And they are merging. We mentioned earlier that AirTran and Southwest are merging. That's not as a big deal to Sacramento people because AirTran doesn't fly here. But Continental and United both fly here. So the fact that their mileage programs are going to merge is of great importance. And I might point out to folks that if you go to TravelGuysRadio.com, scroll down below the listing for today's program, you can see an article by Ed Perkins, who is one of our reporters here on the Travel Guys and was just with us a couple of weeks ago. And Ed has written a wonderful article kind of outlining some of the details of the United and Continental merger. And that way you can see what we're talking about here. But basically, the two programs are going to come together. If you have miles in United's program and miles in Continental's program, at some point in time during the year or at the end of the year, those miles are going to come together. So there are a couple of things that you ought to know. First of all, if you're a person who collects miles from American Express, you have an American Express card and you accumulate membership rewards points, Continental participates in that program. United does not. So when Continental becomes part of United, they will no longer participate in it. So you have until, I believe it's the 1st of September, let's see here, to be able to put your American Express card miles into your Continental account, which would eventually make them Continental/United miles. But you can only do that as long as they are a part of the program. Are you with me so far, Tom?
I am. Actually, I've fudged. I've pulled up the TravelGuysRadio.com.
I see.
I've drilled into that Continental United Frequent Flyer Program Close to Merging article, and I'm glad I did because there's a lot of valuable information I could never remember. But go ahead. Go ahead. Continue on.
Well, you have until September.
Yes.
To transfer those American Express miles, into your Continental account, which will eventually be merged with United. United does not participate in that particular program. So right now, if you're an American Express person and you want to get miles into Continental United, you have until September, then you need to move them in there. Now, let's pretend, for example, you've got some points in your Continental account and some points in your United account. Now, can you combine those to get a free ticket? Right now, the answer is no. Can you combine them? But you can move them from one to the other.
Well, okay.
To combine them. So if you were a member of both programs. You could, as many people know, kind of the threshold for you can't possibly get this award, the fat chance for a seat level is what Ed Perkins calls it, is 25,000 miles. You go on, if you're really extremely lucky, you might be able to find a seat. If it's off season or you're willing to fly in the middle of the night. Otherwise, you've got to buy a full price award. A good chance for a seat is what Ed calls it at 50,000 miles. So if you've got some miles in one account and some miles in the other account, these are eventually going to be merged. And you can transfer miles now. It's set up so that you can now transfer miles back and forth. So if you wanted a ticket in one and you had miles in another, you could gather them together. And it would not cost – there is – the airlines is just – because they're like this all the time. They're just incredible giving people. They're not charging you for this. Also, starting – on the 15th of June, the two airlines are going to completely rationalize their award schedules. So everything will come into line. It just means that some things will be, most of them are, they're pretty much the same already, but they're going to be tweaked a little bit up, a little bit down.
I like that term. We're going to rationalize this.
Yes. Well, that's the airlines. That's what they use. If you want more details on this, go to travelguysradio.com and go down to the bottom and scroll on and click on the Continental Miles and you'll be all set.
Well, thank you, Mark. We are the Travel Guys, News Talk 1530 KFBK. And, Mark, tell me about our special guest today.
Our next guest this afternoon on the Travel and Entertainment Guys is Becky Rep. Becky is with American Road Magazine, which is for those of us who are addicted to the road and off the beaten track and stuff like that, this is one of the two or three Bibles that we follow around the country. And, Becky, it's so nice to have you on the program.
Thank you for having me, and I like that. We're a Bible for road trips. That's great.
I've been a charter subscriber to the magazine ever since, as we were talking before the interview started, a day in Springfield about 9 years ago when you all had this idea and this concept and you were soliciting charter subscribers and things of that sort. And because I knew a couple of the authors from my Route 66 travels, I thought, well, this is something that, that might have some promise. And here we are 9 years later, and
yep.
You have a wonderful website. And a great magazine, and it really talks about these off-the-beaten-track places. Tell me, for example, about the Rip Van Winkle Trail.
Well, it's in the Catskills in New York, and it's kind of a magical place. Tom, like I said, our executive editor went there when he was doing research for a feature article in the magazine. And as you mentioned, you know, we're about the historic highways and auto trails, and the Rip Van Winkle is one of those two-lane highways that was a named highway, named before the roads had numbers.
Okay.
And this is up in the Hudson River Valley in New York.
It's in the Catskills in New York.
Okay.
And it's a beautiful kind of surreal place, and it's kind of, you know, magical. It's a great setting for, you know, the Rip Van Winkle tale, and you can get a good sense of that when you drive the Rip Van Winkle Trail. It's a back issue of American Road, and I can't.
In fact, they have actually have the Rip Van Winkle Motor Lodge, and if you're lucky enough, you can ask for the room that Rip Van Winkle is either in or stayed in.
And I don't think he's still there. But.
And so American Road, Becky, and the reason I asked you about the Rip Van Winkle Trail was just to give folks kind of a feel for, in addition to Route 66 and the Lincoln Highway and Old Highway 6, which winds its way magically across the country, and all of these other great, the National Road and all these great places, every month the magazine has features on some of these folks. So if you are an off-the-beaten-track person, you really can't find a better place to get information than the magazine. And of course, the website now is a plethora of information. And would you say most of the people who read your magazine are kind of roadies? I guess I would be one of those people.
Yes. If you like to take a road trip, if you like road trips.
Who doesn't?
Well, I don't know anybody who does.
No, but Tom, you know, there are a lot of people who have grown up and are still in the era of they get in the car and they go from point A to point B and they get there as fast as they can. And I'll give you an example. How many people have driven from Sacramento to San Francisco over the years? Mm-hmm. The Lincoln Highway takes that route, one of the alignments of the highway.
Right.
And there's all kinds of wonderful things to see and do in Dixon and Vacaville and Fairfield and all these places along the way, Sassoon and stuff like that. Most people who travel that road have no idea those places even exist.
No, they're just, like you say, point A to point B. You know, I grew up in the era where Sunday drive. Go for a Sunday drive. What do you want to do? Let's go for a drive.
Go for a drive.
And that was in, you know, and see some sights, and that's what people did.
Becky Rep with American Road Magazine has been our guest this afternoon on the Travel Guys. You can go to travelguysradio.com, and you can see we will have the links there so that you can find out all about American Road Magazine. It is available by subscription. Becky, I think you said it was $16.95 a year?
Yes.
Yes, and there's a two-year offering, too. And so go to travelguysradio.com. I absolutely promise you that when you get this magazine, you will read every article cover to cover, every issue.
Yes, I would say this is your road trip planning resources, wouldn't you say, Becky?
That's what we think it is.
Outstanding. Well, okay, thank you so much for being our guest. All right, and we'll check in with you again sometime in the near future. All right, Becky?
I will look forward to it. Thank you. You guys have a great day, and as we say at American Road, friends don't let friends drive the interstate.
Outstanding. We are the Travel Guys, Tom Romano with Mark Hoffman, and this is News Talk 1530 KFBK.
Before Aaron leaves the room here, what happened to the fried chicken story? It didn't make the cut for the 2:30 news?
It didn't make the cut. It's been eaten. It's gone. I got hungry, and so, yeah.
Original or extra crispy, yes. Thank you, Aaron. It's always nice to walk into the station and see Aaron.
I agree. I get to see Erin during the week, too. She works with the traffic, total traffic, road traffic, that is, right around the corner from my studio.
Oh.
Well, here we are. We're back on the Travel Guys News Talk 1530 KFBK. And, of course, our travel blogger, our mileage runner, Ben
Trying to get his name right, at least. Schloppig.
Ben Schloppig will be joining us. Schloppig.
Ben's listening to all of this right now and getting his lawyer lined up on the phone.
Mark, you've had a little bit of a Nevada experience.
I went down to the Rural Nevada Tourism Conference in Mesquite this last week.
What does that mean?
Well, that means all the areas in Nevada that are outside of Reno and Las Vegas and Carson City get together and figure out how they can attract tourists to their areas.
And who would those be?
Well, they'd be like Mesquite and Pioche and Ely and Eureka and Elko and Winnemucca.
Elko, I know.
Yeah, Lovelock and all of those kinds of wonderful places.
All right.
Tonopah. And Rachel.
Tonopah. That was in that song we just played. Route 66.
Tonopah is not in Route 66. Tonopah is up. It's okay, Tom. We'll get you a map. But anyways, it's gathering of all the folks from Nevada, rural Nevada, and really, really nice people. We're trying to put together a tour of Nevada ghost towns, so that's kind of why I was down there to meet those
City?
Folks. Got a chance. No, Carson City's not a ghost town.
No.
That's the capital of Nevada. Got to stay at Vedera, which is one of Arthur Frommer's favorite spots there in City Center. Nice hotel, $97. Goodness gracious sakes alive for a five-diamond hotel. It was pretty cool. Ben's waiting on the phone. Shall we get to him?
Let's
He's a very
it.
Famous guy now. We shouldn't keep him.
I know. My wife ran across the article in the newspaper today, taken from the New York Times. Give up your seat or not using bumping tips. And, of course, the article basically is all about you. Welcome, buddy.
Thank you for having me again.
Hey, Ben, so now you're world famous. We knew you before you were famous, though.
Hardly.
We hardly knew you before you were famous? Is that what you meant?
No, hardly famous.
Oh, I see.
Ben, there's a real discrepancy here, though. As the news media is wont to do, they quoted you as being a 20-year-old college student. I thought you were a 23-year-old college student.
No, I'm 20, actually.
Oh.
You can't even order a beer to go along with that voucher-free flight.
Well, that's why I travel so much, isn't it?
I guess so. My wife, I gotta open with this question, and then I'll turn it over to Mark. My wife needed to know two things. Number one, do you actually go anywhere and do something, or do you just vouch? collect?
Well, I do, and I think that's somewhat the misconception. You know, the reason I actually end up bumping so much is because, you know, it gets me extra travel credits. And in turn, I use those to fly in order to earn miles. And then, you know, the point of earning the miles are really is to be able to travel to exciting places. So my actual trips where I'm just trying to get bumped, those are just to fly usually. But the point of that is actually to be able to see new places.
So, yeah, I had this vision of you just going from, you know, airport to airport is not really what it is. This is, you know, you have a life in between all of this.
Yes, it's almost a business of sorts, I think.
Now, the other question is do you have a girlfriend in every port or no time for a girlfriend at all?
I do not, unfortunately.
He would have no time. I mean, if you got in, how would the girlfriend get through security?
There you go.
And so Ben, you are a senior this year. This is your last semester.
It is. I have another week or so to go.
Oh, so and then you are free to – and what are we going to do when we grow up?
I'm going to do actually what I'm doing now, travel blogging, travel writing, and travel consulting, which is my primary business right now. So,
And before we get too much into this, we probably should give you an opportunity here for a plug, because now that you're a famous quoted travel blogger from the New York Times.
Who goes by the name of Lucky.
Yeah, exactly. And what you do for a living and what you hope to do is that you track down these award seats for folks. Am I correct there?
I do, yeah. So that's my main business, is basically helping people use their miles to book tickets, you know, that they otherwise typically couldn't find on their own, and that the airlines can't find either when you call them. So that's my primary business.
And you keep looking for that ticket until you can find it, or until you can find the you find something that's acceptable to the person who has paid you for doing the research.
I mean, usually I can find it at any point. So as soon as they contact me, usually the space is there. It's just that it might be a different routing than, you know, something that's conventional or what the airline offered them directly. So, you know, typically I can actually find it right then and there. And, you know, I don't actually charge anything unless I find something that works for that person.
Now, Ben,
if I can't make it work.
Ben, when you're in your blog online, you talk a lot about you know, about getting bumped off of flights and stuff like that, and obviously it's a science to you. But right. Let's pretend that you're Tom.
Thank you very much.
And Tom is a typical average person. Tom's not a frequent flyer or an elite member of a program. Tom goes to the airport with his wife, let's say, and he's booked on a flight in the morning, and suddenly they come on the phone on the PA system and say, ladies and gentlemen, for anyone who has flexibility in their flight plans today, et cetera, et cetera. How does Tom know what's a good deal and what's not?
What should I be looking for value-wise, Ben?
Value-wise, I mean, I think it really all depends on the airline. You know, there's voluntary bumps, which is when you actually volunteer to give up your seat, and that does really vary by airline. United, for example, they have a flat $400 voucher they give you when you get bumped, regardless of whether you're delayed an hour or 10 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Other airlines use bidding systems, like Delta, for example. So there, you know, you can kind of wait it out and hope you get more, but, you know, it really does vary. So for, you know, an hour delay, it's going to be less typically than for an overnight delay.
Now, Ben, in some cases, you intentionally, particularly bad weather and stuff like that, you try to fly places where you're hoping that you'll get delayed, bumped, that your itinerary will end up an utter mess. Is that a pretty accurate statement?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my primary basically time to mileage run, which is the thing I do, is typically in the fall and winter, because, A, the fares are lowest then, and, B, there's the highest chance of bad weather, which could potentially, you know, cause flights to be oversold due to cancellations and stuff like that. So,
and we should tell folks that a mileage run is what someone does when they're a member of an airline's frequent flyer program and they're trying to reach an elite level, and maybe they're short by 5,000 miles or 10,000 miles or whatever, and so you devise a route that will allow you to travel as many miles and have as many segments, takeoffs and landings, for as little money as possible, basically.
Excellent summary. And I would add that some people do it full time. Sometimes it's not even just to get those last few thousand miles. For some people, it's just a, you know, full-time hobby.
Ben, give me a tip. If I were going to be willing to get bumped on a flight and I'm going to go to the airport and I say, you know what, we're not in really a big hurry. If this flight is oversold, you know, I think maybe I might want to take advantage of that. What tips would you give me in regards to how to proceed?
Well, I think it really starts before you actually get to the airport. So before you leave home for the airport, I would go to the website of the airline that you're flying and actually try to just book a flight, try to book a seat on the flight you're booked on. So
mm-hmm.
you're traveling
okay.
to Atlanta, search, and, you know, then you can see basically how many seats they're still selling. So, you know, pretend you're a big party, enter 5 or 9 seats, and, you know, if they're selling a lot of seats, chances are they're not oversold. But if they're not selling a lot of seats anymore, then I would say as soon as you get to the airport, go to an agent and ask to be added to the volunteer list.
Okay, so to get up there first in line and volunteer.
Exactly, and you can do that before you even get to the gate for most airlines. Typically, you can do that at check-in, and it's not binding, so there's no nothing to lose by getting on the list. So, you know, if you don't like the terms they give you, you don't have to take the bump, but, you know, that certainly helps.
So you talk about the terms right then and there when you could be put on the list.
You don't talk about the terms then. There you just get added to the list. And
okay.
Typically, when you get to the gate close to departure, they know then how many people they need, what the alternatives are, how much they're offering. So, you know, typically it's just to get on the list at the beginning.
Now, some airlines, like Southwest, they have pretty much a standard amount, and it doesn't – I can only remember one time when it ever varied when they were incredibly desperate to get one more person. But most of the other carriers will start out at one rate, and if they don't get the people they need, they will go up. Because what some folks don't know is that if you're holding a ticket and they don't put you on that airplane, they have to compensate you a minimum of $400 base and perhaps more, based on whether or not they can get you on another flight, how quickly they can, and a lot of other criteria. But the airline has some liability there, so they don't want someone with a ticket not to get on.
Exactly, and it counts against them, actually, with the Department of Transportation. They have statistics for the number of people that are involuntarily denied boarding. So
do you sit there, Ben, and wait for the bid to go up?
I mean, I primarily fly United, so in United's case, they have a flat $400 compensation amount. So for me, it's just a function of getting bumped as quickly as possible. But if I were flying an airline like Delta, which had a bidding system, I'd really play out the situation and just, you know, I get to the gate, ask the gate agent, oh, how much are you guys oversold? And, you know, if they say 10 people and, you know, the alternative is a flight tomorrow, I would say, okay, you know, I'm interested, but not for $200 or whatever they're offering. So, you know, at the same time, if it's a one-hour delay, and they need one volunteer, chances are, you know, you're best off trying to get bumped as quickly as possible, because chances are they're not going to raise the amount.
Our guest is Ben Schlappig this afternoon. Am I saying that right, Ben?
Exactly right. Yeah,
Schlappig, okay. Ben Schlappig, we're on News Talk 1530 KFBK. We are the Travel Guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano.
In the article in from the New York Times, you indicate that the gate agents don't really care who you are. They care more about how you treat them. Explain.
I mean, you see this all the time where people, they announce they need volunteers, and people go up to the gate, but then they're very, very picky about, you know, how they want to be reaccommodated. So my strategy, kind of, when I get to the gate agent, I just say, I'm very flexible. I have no check bags. I'll be very easy to deal with. And I just say, I'm going to be sitting over there, and I point to where I'm sitting, and I just say, if you need me, let me know.
Wow.
You know, typically they appreciate that, because other people, you know, but I want to take the 3 p.m. flight, you know, then they're very picky, and, you know, gate agents are already very stressed out. So just give them a pat on the back, tell them, you know, I realize you have a very tough job, and, you know, it goes a long way also with, you know, potentially other benefits you can get out of the bump.
And I was going to say, not to mention the fact that if your kindnesses can sometimes get you a lounge pass, or if it's an overnight flight, it'll get you a better hotel voucher or a taxi cab voucher. There are a lot of little things that are still that gate agents can do for you in those situations if they perceive that you're a nice person.
Absolutely, or possibly even a first-class upgrade on the next flight. So, you know, there they do have a bit of discretion usually. You know, I've gotten extra meal vouchers because I was nice. So, you know, it really does depend on the gate agent, but they certainly do have a bit of discretion in what they offer you. So, you know, it helps to be nice.
Ben, you mentioned also taking red-eye flights for those that are looking to do some mileage running. Explain how that can be an advantage.
Well, typically, as you go throughout the day, there's cancellations, there's delays, there's people that had connecting flights, but, you know, due to a delay on the first flight, they misconnect. And what happens then is they get rebooked on the next flight. So people are constantly being booked onto later and later flights throughout the day. So I've had flights where, you know, in the morning I was booked on a red-eye from Los Angeles to Washington, and that morning it still had 50 empty seats, but it ended up being, you know, oversold by 10 or 15 people because throughout the day there were cancellations and other issues that that caused problems.
Now, so, Ben, do you have something in real time that you follow when in on your PDA or something that allows you to see how many seats are left? Do you subscribe to something or?
Right, yes, I use expertflyer.com. I think it's $99 a year, and it's useful also for my business. But generally, it shows you the fare buckets. So basically, it shows you how many seats the airlines are still willing to sell on a flight. So it doesn't necessarily say how many it's oversold by, but it says how many seats they're willing to sell.
Now, are you accessing that information like on your phone?
Yes, it's on my phone, so they have an app for a phone, or otherwise you can check on your computer.
Ben, before we let you go, I wanted to ask you one more thing. We haven't talked a whole lot about hotels, and maybe that's a subject for another day, but do you book your hotels directly with the hotel sites, or do you ever use Priceline or Hotels.com or things of that sort?
I generally book through the hotel sites directly because, Elite Status does have its benefits as well with hotel chains, but there's definitely some times where it makes more sense to just go to Priceline or Hotwire, I guess, basically name your own price. There's definitely some tools out there to determine when it makes sense or not. For example, BetterBidding.com has a list of all the bids people have made for certain hotels and certain star levels so that you know what you can expect to pay. And lots of times it's less than half the price of what's available directly through the hotel.
BetterBidding.com.
Mark is writing.
Yeah,
all this
I'm
down.
I'm basically writing this down because it's like everybody else that's out there listening. And for those of you who are driving around, we'll put these expertflyer.com, betterbidding.com. I'll get Ryan to put them up on our website so that folks can access them because these are little tricks of the trade. And the more of them that you have, the better off that you will be. You also want to register for airlines updates on your cell phone, flight updates, and things of that sort so that when you get into one of these mucky situations, they can get a hold of you a little bit easier.
Absolutely.
And, of course, for those of you that like to dig around on your computer, you can find Ben's goes under the name of Lucky. You're on the 1 mile at a time blog on boardingarea.com.
Exactly. And I also write a weekly column on travelsort.com for travel tips and about award travel and how to get award seats, how to get bumps, that kind of stuff.
Travelsort.com?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. All right. Well, Ben, congratulations on getting quoted in the New York Times. That doesn't happen all the time. So it certainly speaks to your prowess and your abilities. If you weren't good at what you were doing, one more time, what is the website that you have for the business end of what you do?
For my travel consulting business, the website is pointspros.com. So that's an S at the end of points and an S at the end of pros.
Okay.
Any fear, Ben, that everybody's going to pick up on how to do this from listening to you, and then you're going to go to the airport and there's going to be like 10 people standing in line already ahead of you?
Bring it on.
All right. Way to go, buddy.
Thank you, Ben, for your time. I appreciate it. Good luck with the last week of school, and we'll be in touch with you in a few weeks.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
All right. Ben Schlappig, 1 mile at a time, also known as Lucky, joining us on the Travel Guys. We'll take a break. We'll come back and wrap up today's program. This is News Talk 1530 KFBK. This is Mark Hoffman of the Travel Guys. If you listen to the Travel Guys, you know one of my favorite destinations is the islands of Hawaii. Are the islands of Hawaii? Are the islands of Hawaii, I think. Yeah. Anyways, at the end of October, I will be taking 20 people to Kauai, Oahu, and the Big Island for a 10-day spectacular vacation that takes a look at the other side of Hawaii. The only real attraction that we're going to do that folks have been to before is going out to Pearl Harbor, where a beautiful new monument and memorial awaits you, the World War II Valor in the Pacific Memorial at Pearl Harbor. We're also going to take you behind the scenes at a chocolate farm and a vanilla farm. You're going to get a seahorse wrapped around your little finger. You're going to eat until your stomach swells up. Stop it, Tom. Anyways, we leave on October the 29th. We are gone for 10 days. The package is about $4,000. If you would like to go with us, go to sportsleisure.com or give us a call at 361-TOUR. That's 361-8687. And join me in Hawaii this fall.
I take personal responsibility for Patrick being here. He was pounding on the door. I let him in.
You know what, Patrick's – you know the thing about Patrick's show is I don't care with what political persuasion you are, you will find his program interesting.
Absolutely.
Left, right, center, up the road, down the road, parked in the alley somewhere.
I like top 10 cowboy rules thing that he does. That's my favorite
Patrick's
stuff.
Got – It's definitely going to get your attention. I absolutely guarantee you. I enjoy listening to it. All right. We have some things to wrap up here. We have a listener question, Tom.
Okay.
That came in during the week. Actually, this is a couple weeks old now. This gentleman said he had a United credit card for 10 years that he pays a yearly fee for, and if he were to switch to Capital One, the points they say are good on every airline. Real quickly, on these affiliate credit cards, when you're with the airline card, the miles are going to be worth more. When you're with Capital One or somebody, basically your miles are worth a penny a point. And so if you've got an airline affiliate card, you're better off than with a non-affiliate card, providing that you plan to fly on that airline, of course, and given the difficulties in getting tickets. Okay, a couple of quick entertainment announcements here. The Sacramento Choral Society and Orchestra on Saturday, April the 30th at the Mondavi Center has a concert called Easy to Love. It is a Broadway tribute to the music of Richard Rodgers, Jerome Kern, Cole Porter, and Andrew Lloyd Webber. What a great evening this is going to be. Saturday, April the 30th at 8 p.m. at the Mondavi Center at UC Davis. SacChoral.com will get you tickets for that. And the American River Chorus has a wonderful program. The Great American Songbook 2, Hay Fever. It's kind of a strange name for a concert.
Perfect for this time of the year.
Yeah, Saturday, May the 14th. They have two shows at 2 and 7. They are featuring a couple of wonderful choral groups. This is at the Hiram Johnson High School Auditorium here in Sacramento. AmericanRiverChorus.org will get you tickets. We will post those on our TravelGuysRadio.com website, where you can find connections to our blogger, Ben, American Road Magazine, and everything else that we spoke about this afternoon. Next week, on the Travel Guys, Gail Navario is joining us. She's going to be here the whole hour to answer your questions about airport security. Gail Navario, who has two brothers named Tom and Mark, and she will be here next week. John Holloway, we're going over to his store, take a little walk around, tell you about a brand new theater company. How's all that sound to you, Mr. Romano?
I love it. I love it. Make sure to be here early. I'm sure the calls are going to be hot and heavy for Gail.
Yeah, we're going to take calls next week.
You bet.